Alrighty. First thing I'm going to have you do is I'm going to turn the recorder on here, and then I'm going to have you give me full name, spelling, title, so when I write this back for the web, I can't make any mistakes.
Roger.
Go ahead.
My name is Kevin Moore, K-E-V-I-N-M-O-O-R-E, and I am the Deputy Secretary at the Department of Health Services.
So you are the right-hand man for Kitty Rhodes?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay. And let's see here. You've got some initiatives on fraud we're going to talk about. So
yep.
Let's go ahead and go there. I'm going to get this thing going. 3, 2, 1. Joining us right now on the telephone, Kevin Moore is the Deputy Secretary for the Department of Health Services. The department is working on some new initiatives to help prevent fraud. What are you working on?
Yeah, thanks, Larry, for having me. What we are looking at is a series of initiatives that Governor Walker has directed the department to evaluate and, if possible, implement, aimed at really bolstering the state's program integrity for public assistance programs, particular Medicaid and food share. And so the governor has outlined 6 provisions, which we believe are very viable and very legitimate tools that the state can use to protect taxpayers, by also making sure, though, that individuals who need these services have access to them. So over the course of the next couple of months, the department's going to evaluate, in many cases, work with our federal partners, because we'll need to have a partnership with the federal government on some of these, but move the things forward that we can. And again, the overarching goal is to make sure that taxpayers are being protected from people who are trying to defraud the system. So we think these are common sense goals, and we look forward to moving forward on behalf of the governor.
You have a challenge there because you have a lot of people in these programs, and you want to make sure the state gets the most bang for the buck. You want to make sure the people that need the services get the services, but you're trying to catch those few that are making it a mess for everybody else. How are you going to do that?
Well, I think there's a couple of ways. Over the course of the last couple of years, we've taken a very different tact in terms of fraud detection. We created an Office of the Inspector General here at the department to really consolidate our efforts when it came to detecting fraud. When this administration came in, there was one individual that was doing recipient fraud for food share and for Medicaid. And for programs that have upwards of 1 million people in it, that's just not enough. And so the last 2 years, we've bolstered that now to having an entire section of individuals dedicated to recipient fraud. So we've moved the ball. We've definitely created a new platform and a new expectation that we're going to protect taxpayers and again, make sure that people that are defrauding the system, we're going to not only find out who you are, but we're going to prosecute you when we can, while also making sure that for people that have a legitimate reason and are entitled to these programs, have access to them. So it is going to be a challenge, but I think that what we're looking at is really focusing now and turning our efforts on the front end, which is verifying for individuals that are coming into the system, doing a series of steps to verify that, you know, are you actually providing us with the information and is that information correct? And so for some of the initiatives that we've outlined, it may be as simple as just creating a special dedicated unit to be able to evaluate applications, look for things in applications that may look a little suspect, and then allow us to continue on that investigation to determine whether or not are they suspect, or maybe it might be something as simple as they just misfilled out the information. That's going to be obviously a more easily attainable goal. Some of the other ones, though, that the governor has outlined are much more complex. They're more about data sharing. They're more about making sure that we get a better, more holistic view of people that are, when they're coming in for eligibility, that the information they're providing us, that we have access to the back-end systems to verify that. And so those are going to be more challenging processes because we have to find a common ground and a partnership with our federal partners, in this case the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services or the folks that are running the food stamp program to help us move these program integrity programs forward. I'll just say this. I think that, and this is not a partisan issue. Program integrity it should be a bipartisan issue. It's not a Wisconsin issue. It should be a national issue. And so we are very hopeful that we'll be able to start that dialogue and make these reforms happen here in the state of Wisconsin.
Sounds like some of these reforms are going to require some upgrades as far as technology, computers, databases, things like that, which we've all heard in the past is not one of the state's strong suits. They've had some issues with computers in the past. What do you see happening to maybe get in line to make these systems work?
Well, when it comes to the IT side of it, it really boils down to, on the front end, developing your business practices and your governance first before you start looking at IT solutions. And I think that's really where the governor wants us to go and why he's pushing us to do the evaluation first. If we've got a system in place and we have our governance in place, it's going to make it easier because an IT solution is just that. It's IT. But how you use it, how it's governed, and how you're going to implement it, that's all driven by the business. And so what the governor has outlined here is a number of aggressive proposals. Yes, there's going to be an IT solution on the backside of it, but I think that's really a difference, I guess, in our approach is that before you go out and buy a piece of IT equipment, you need to know what you're trying to do with it first. And I think that's a fundamental shift. That is something that is going to improve the outcomes when you do an IT installation. And I think that's where the approach that we're going to be taking. I also think, though, that for some of these changes, it's going to also just be the ability to find the resources and the approval from the federal government to be able to actually do some of this stuff. So it's not even necessarily an IT issue. It's more of a policy discussion and more of a business debate.
Are the feds working with you on this at all to help make those policies play so you can do these things, or are you having some problems getting permission in some areas?
Yeah, I think in some of these areas, and specifically in terms of things like requiring asset tests and trying to do additional data background exchanges, those are always things that are challenging because there's different policies at different levels of government. And so while we understand that there may be a precedent or they may have said to other states that have approached this that that this is not acceptable or we don't want to go down that path, we believe that by doing a thorough investigation and looking at this from the perspective of how can we improve program integrity, catching fraud, I'll just take Medicaid. For every dollar that's spent in Medicaid, 40 cents of that dollar comes from state taxpayers and the other 60 cents comes from federal taxpayers, which are also state taxpayers. So there should be a joint effort here to make sure that that money never leaves for people that are trying to defraud the system. So we're going to do our due diligence on this. We're going to do a thorough evaluation internally and then reach out to our federal partners on this to see if we can find common ground on that, on many of these proposals.
Your agency has to oversee several programs, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, the food stamp program, family care. There's so many things. Have you found that there is more fraud in one particular area or maybe a couple of particular areas?
Well, we've really turned a lot of our attention in the last couple of months and years really on the recipient side, and I've noticed and one of the benefits of that, particularly on food share, has been a dramatic uptick in terms of our efforts to try to identify recipients that are trying to defraud the food share program. And just as a point of comparison, when we first came into office in calendar year 2011, there were 105 suspensions from the food share program. In calendar year 2013, we're projecting 332 suspensions. So in 2 years, we've been able to almost triple that number. And I think that's a lot of it has to do with just the commitment towards identifying fraud and being willing to not only identify it, but then move it through the process so people are either sanctioned or in some instances that there's prosecution involved. For a long time, Wisconsin, though, has had a Medicaid fraud enforcement unit. That is a team that is not only here within the department, but we also work very closely with the Department of Justice. This is something that was federally created, and every state has these. And we're very fortunate to have Alan White, who's our Inspector General, who has a very decorated career in terms of identifying Medicaid fraud. And again, a lot of that fraud is more targeted at the provider level. And also you hear often about settlements on drug cases as well. So we're in the process right now of looking at all of these different areas. I think an area that we're also very eager to continue our development on is our partnerships with our sister agencies. If somebody's going to commit food share fraud or somebody's going to commit Medicaid fraud, they're more likely than not going to commit unemployment fraud, or they're going to also commit child care fraud. So we're continuing to work with our sister agencies on that back-end communication so that if we're able to flag a case, that information is translated over to other state agencies. That's not only good from the perspective of identifying people who are committing fraud, it also serves as an excellent deterrent because now we're all working off of the same playbook. And one of the governor's recommendations is the creation of a task force to really bolster that back-end communication. And we're going to continue to work with our sister agencies to make sure that that happens.
Any timeline for making some of these changes?
Some of this stuff we'll be able to turn on very quick. I know we're working very closely with one of the projects in particular deals with Milwaukee. We're already in the process of putting that to a project plan so that we can start to develop dedicated individuals to evaluate people, specifically self-employed individuals that are applying for Medicaid, that we get those tools in place to really be able to provide the scrutiny that some of those cases need to have. Everything else, though, what we're doing is, as you mentioned out, a lot of these are IT related. So we have to build out business plans to make sure we understand what our business goals are and ultimately what we have on staff, because, again, we do have a lot of resources available already. So some of these things we're going to be able to turn on sooner rather than later when it comes to developing partnerships with our federal partners. That may take a little bit longer, obviously, with the ACA moving forward and people, a lot of information flying around regarding marketplaces and exchanges. We're hopeful that we can have a multi-pronged dialogue with our federal partners. So this is not, you know, we'll have some short-term victories, but I think also program integrity is a long-term discussion. It's something that should be discussed about in every program and every communication to members. We need to let them know that not only do they have a right and an obligation to get some of these services, but they also have an obligation to understand their part of the deal, which is they're receiving public assistance, and they shouldn't be defrauding the system either. So we have a number of different projects moving at the same time.
As you mentioned, with the ACA coming into place, you're going to have some big changes there, some from the federal level passed through you, some initiated right there at the state.
Yep.
I would imagine that creates a new challenge as far as watching out for either people defrauding the Affordable Care Act or people making mistakes and signing up for the wrong things.
Yep. That's actually a really great point, and I think it's a challenge for us. And I think there's actually two parts of this challenge. From the perspective of making sure that people are getting the right information so that they're making the right decisions, the governor had invested in his state budget a considerable amount of money to help income maintenance offices in supporting the new influx of people and families that are going to be coming into economic support agencies and income maintenance offices throughout the state. From our perspective, that $38.1 million worth of investment is going to really solidify that safety net so that when people, either if they're coming in to check for their Medicaid eligibility or if they're eligible to move into the marketplace, that they understand where they can go. Again, healthcare.gov is the website that we're directing people to, because that's going to be the exchange for the state of Wisconsin. And so we're really looking at how do we operationalize that. So if a Wisconsin resident, whether it be in Wausau, Stevens Point, Rapids, wherever, as they move through that system, that they understand how to navigate that. That's a challenge, yes, no question about it. The other side is just the general perspective of, you know, how many people and how fast do you get people in the program, and are your systems up to speed to be able to handle that verification? Feds have made some decisions that may not, you know, again, they've made decisions based on the policy of, well, let's get people in and we'll kind of forego some of the verification processes. That's their prerogative to do so. For us, though, we consistently believe that it's important to protect taxpayers, not only from fraudulent activities, but to your point, is if somebody's on Medicaid and should be on Medicaid, then let's make sure that they're in that program and they're not in the exchange. If somebody is accidentally misreporting income and now they're receiving a taxpayer subsidy when they shouldn't be, again, that may be an error, but then that also opens the state up to paying for benefits that we shouldn't be paying. So there's a number of different issues that go on. We consistently have open lines of communication with our federal partners, and sometimes there's just difference of opinion because of the policy that each administration is pursuing. But again, I think that fraud detection, program integrity, those shouldn't be partisan issues, and we continue to believe that through ongoing dialogue and ongoing discussion that we can find common ground to protect taxpayers.
Anything you'd like to add today?
I think that I just appreciate the opportunity. I think that that program integrity is important. I think that Wisconsin taxpayers expect that their tax dollars are being used to truly help and support people that are in poverty. We're going through a number of changes in Wisconsin in terms of not only the Affordable Care Act, but also the fact that for the first time in the state's history that everybody that lives in poverty is going to have access to the state safety net in Medicaid. I really think that that's a fundamental shift. It's a solidifying of our safety net. I think it's good public policy. It's going to be helping out a lot of our public, our friends and neighbors. So I would advise people to, again, though, keep tuned. I would healthcare.gov is the portal. It's a great way to get information, and that's going to be what happens. That's going to be the place that people go to get information in 5 days when the health insurance exchanges go live and people can enroll. So it's an exciting time in healthcare, and I think it's important that people continue to keep their eyes and ears open to the changes going on.
As far as the items here in Wisconsin, if people either suspect fraud or know of a fraud case, who should they get in touch with?
If they've got a question on fraud, they should contact our fraud hotline, which is a great question, and we're going to dig that up for you as we speak. You can go to our website, actually, and if you go to our website, you can actually do one of two things. You can actually put in a formal request to do it online, which obviously is always a nice way to do it, but you can also make a phone call. And if you take a look at, it's 1-877-865-3432. And our website is dhs.wisconsin.gov. And again, not only on the fraud side, we got a big red button on the left-hand side of our website. Click it, call, let us know what we can do. We investigate all of those complaints. But it also is a great portal for people if you've got questions on the Affordable Care Act, if you've got questions on your eligibility for either the Marketplace, the Exchange, or on Medicaid. We've got resources for everybody out there.
Kevin Moore is the Deputy Secretary for the Department of Health Services, State of Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
There's the recording. All right, we are rolling once again. This is an edit point one. We'll put it in where it fits after his comment on the webpage. And it's Kevin Moore. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Now you have the webpage, but you also have some instructional or informational videos that people can take a look at. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the department, and this is for individuals that are in Medicaid that have access to non-emergency medical transportation. The department has put together 5 videos that are really designed to be quick, just to-the-point videos for people to help them better understand how to navigate the system. How do I get a ride? What do I need to do to help make sure that when I register for a ride or when I need to schedule a ride that I'm providing the information so that it is a very smooth process? So whether it is what is it, who can ride with me, what happens when I make a phone call, how do I get to my appointment, and then even more importantly is returning home from my appointment. We want to make sure that people have that information. And so we've got this up on our website at dhs.wisconsin.gov/BadgerCarePlus/NEMT. And so it's also available if you check out our Twitter account, at DHSWI. We also like to broadcast those to folks that are on Twitter. I also would encourage folks to follow our Twitter account. But this is a great opportunity for people to get that information because not only will it help them, but it will also make it a very smooth process.
There, just like